This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected guests at home, I hope you're all doing well, inshallah ta'ala. And I would like to welcome you to the final episode of the stories from Al-Kahf. We have here with us Sheikh Sajid Omar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ma'roof?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Sheikh?
Barakallahu feek.
Alhamdulillah. It saddens me to say that this is unfortunately our last episode.
Allahu al-musta'an.
But inshallah, we'll be able to cover a lot.
It's subhanallah. A bittersweet moment.
Nah, always.
It's sweet because you say, subhanallah, Allah has blessed us to go through this journey. But it's bitter because, you know, it's coming to an end. But alhamdulillah, Allah has taught us to have good hope in Him. Mm-hmm. And we have good hope, inshallah, that Allah has accepted from us, inshallah. Ameen. And we'll see this in the hereafter. So inshallah. It will be long lived, bi'idhnillah. May Allah accept from us and our viewers.
Ameen, ameen. So we've covered a lot, alhamdulillah, and we've derived many benefits from what we've discussed. We've gone through the story of
The seven sleepers.
Mm. Yes, that's it. The seven sleepers, then onto the two men in the gardens. That went on to leading us to the two giants.
Musa and Khidr.
Musa and Khidr. And finally finishing up on the just ruler. And now
Dhul Qarnayn.
Now we're just looking at the first 10 and the last 10 ayat of
Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is diligent with the first 10 and the last 10, they'll be protected from the Dajjal. Mm-hmm. I think in our last episode, we managed to cover up to ayah number 7, or we stopped at our discussion, discussing ayah number 7.
Yes.
Perhaps we can just take it from there, inshallah. No.
So the ayah states, surely we have made whatever is on the earth an embellishment for it, so that we may try them as to which of them is best in its works.
Yes, this in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying basically that those who live for this life, they are, or their yardstick for success is financial standing and material well-being, right? It's not the pleasure of God Almighty. And God Almighty is saying that, look, everything on earth is going to come to an end. Everything exists with an expiration date. And everything that exists is temporary. It has an attraction, but it's a temporary attraction. It's just a type of zina. It's just the beautification of this temporary earth. We've beautified the temporary earth with temporary things, and it's going to turn to dust. That's what Allah is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying, teaching us here, you know, the purpose of all this zina, all this temporary beauty, all this attraction, you know, the bling bling, as some of the youth say. And Allah says it's a test. It's there to test us. Mm-hmm. It's to test us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interestingly says, أحسن عمله. Right? That's what He says in the ayah, right? What does Allah say?
أحسن عمله, no.
He says, أحسن عمله. Allah says to test us and make manifest which one of us is best in deeds. Allah doesn't say أكثروا عملا. He doesn't say most in deeds. He says best in deeds. Teaching us that we're here to worship God Almighty in every way possible. And God Almighty judges us based on
quality.
Quality. Mm. Not necessarily
quantity.
Quantity. There can be a lot of useless quantity. But it's not going to matter. It's about quality. And even in the stories in Surah Al-Kahf, there's a much longer narrative to it. But Allah shares with us, not a surah known for its quantity, or the story known for its quantity, or the narrative known for its quantity, but rather a narrative known for its quality. Allah shares us the most the points of quality in it, meaning quality in the realm of the context that is being revealed to, and the people receiving it, and the context in play at the time, and so on and so forth. That is just an example. The same thing should apply to us, that it's all about quality. It's not about quantity. It's about reading half a juz of the Quran properly, than one juz with, you know, with no concentration, or two juz with no concentration, etc. So this is an interesting ayah that we learn from this. That look, number one, this life's not going to last forever. Number two, this life is a test, and it's a test about which one of us is best in deeds. Because at the end of the day, everything's going to come to an end, and you're going to return to God Almighty, and He's going to question you about what you did on earth.
SubhanAllah. Now I'm moving on to the next ayah, number 8. And most surely we will make what is on it bare ground without herbage.
Yes. Now, so this is what Allah is saying, yes, that everything will turn to dust. Mm-hmm. It's temporary beautification. Mm-hmm. All this bling bling that you see and all these things that excite you, it's not going to last. This world is a world that gives you one day and the next day it's against you. It's for you one day, it's mm-hmm. against you the next day. It gives you happiness one day, it gives you sadness the other day. It's just how it is, right? That's the nature of this life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't move upon one setting. It's not a static existence, this life. It doesn't, you know, live in a static realm. It's dynamic.
It's always changing.
It's always changing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on top one day, you're not on top the next day. You know what I'm saying?
I think that directly links with the weekly audit point that you made.
Exactly, you know? The weekly audit and so on and so forth, definitely. So that's basically a great insight that the ayah gives us. And remember, we're saying that the first 10 and the last 10 will protect us from the Dajjal. And no doubt, the whole of Surah Al-Kahf protects us from the Antichrist. But not just by reading it, by understanding it. Because if a person lives his or her life with quality deeds, with understanding that all this money I have and all this success I have, it should be in my hands, not in my heart. Allah should only be in my heart. What's going to happen when you see the Dajjal, and the Dajjal brings you know, wealth and brings abundance, gives you a garden, luscious gardens with the will of Allah? What's going to happen? No. If all this worldly life is in your hands, not in your heart, you won't be deceived by it and you won't lose Allah at the biggest trial and tribulation that will come. Does that make sense? Mm. And that's why we said it protects you, it's the savior from the Antichrist, but not by just reading it or just memorizing it. But by reading it, memorizing it, understanding it, and putting it into practice, walking that walk, or walking the talk, or whatever you want to call it. That's what it's about, right? Mm.
Implementation.
And then with that brings us to the end of the first 10. Because when we started discussing the story of the people of the cave, we started on ayah number 9. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. So perhaps we can transfer over to the last 10,
inshallah.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught us that whoever reads the last 10, then it will be protection from the hellfire. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, in some way or form, the last 10 is connected to the first 10.
Subhanallah.
You know, all the meanings we've taken thus far from the last 10, we see it in the first 10. Oops, I'm getting mixed up. The lessons we took in the first 10, we actually will see it in the last. Let's go through it very quickly. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
So, okay, inshallah. Sheikh, I'm going to start from ayah 99, inshallah.
Yes, that's fine. Bismillah. Bismillah.
And on that day, we will leave a part of them in conflict with one another, and the trumpet will be blown. So we will gather them all together, and we will bring forth hell exposed to view on that day before the unbelievers. They whose eyes are under a cover from my reminder, and they could not even hear.
Right, so you've read the 3 ayat.
Yeah,
so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the reality of those who fail the exam of life, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first 10 verses, towards the end, what did we say? Allah says He created all these matters on earth to test us and make manifest which one of us is best in?
Good deeds.
Best in deeds. So now when we get to the end, what you see the connection? Allah is telling us that those who are the worst in deeds, then this is what will happen to them. They will be in conflict, and the day of judgment will consume them in an evil way, and then they will face the torment of the hereafter. What does Allah say about them after that?
What do then those who disbelieve think that they can take my servants to be guardians besides me? Surely we have prepared hell for the entertainment of the unbelievers.
Yes. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going, delving into the punishment of those who say that God Almighty has a son, God Almighty has a child, and those who practice idolatry. Now this is at the end of the surah. Hmm. What does Allah say at the beginning of the surah? Allah discusses this, that the Prophet has come as a warner to those who say that Allah has taken. You see the connection? Allah is saying that those who say that and die upon that, then this is the recompense. You see how the beginning is connected to the end? Yes. What does Allah say after that?
Say, shall we inform you of the greatest losers in their deeds? These are they whose labor is lost in this world's life, and they think that they are well versed in skill of the work of hands.
Oh, this is a powerful ayah. Mm. And all the ayat of the Quran are powerful. Mm. What is Allah telling us here? Allah is telling us a reality that some people They act and act and act and act and act, and they think they're upon guidance, but they're not upon guidance. They think they know, but they don't know. Right? And they think they're doing a good deed. They think they're going to end up in salvation. Right? وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They think that we're doing a good thing. What does Allah say about them? Repeat for them. أُولَئِكَ. What is the translation? These are they?
These are they who disbelieve in the communications of their Lord and it's His meeting. So their deeds become null. And therefore...
This is what happens. Mm. That they've done these deeds, but these deeds are nullified and void because the condition for the deed being accepted is belief in one Allah and accepting the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a wake-up call. And this is the ayah that teaches us about the thinking day we discussed in the last episode.
Mm.
And about the kahf, the cave, the metaphorical cave we should have for ourselves. Because if we're not going to judge ourselves, then what if it is the case that we are doing stuff in life, things in life, activities in life, and we think, you know what, this is amazing. I'm going to get paradise because of this. And you don't audit yourself and you don't think about it. May Allah protect us. And you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you find nothing. Your deeds are null and void because yes, you did all these so-called good things, but you didn't do it for the sake of God Almighty. Right? So for those who don't believe in God Almighty, this is a mighty wake-up call. And this is a wake-up call for those who believe in God Almighty, that revise yourself and make sure your actions are for the sake of Allah.
Hmm.
Are we sitting here right now? Why are we here? Are we here to get exposure on TV? That, you know, TV will make you famous? Are we here for name? Are we here for fame? What are we here for? Because if that is the case, then we fall under the implication of this verse. That we think we're doing a good thing and we'll go to Allah and say, Ya Allah, we sat down. We will go to Allah and we will say, Ya Allah, we sat down. And we discussed Suratul Kahf over so many episodes and so much time we spent together doing this. Allah will say, you did that, but you didn't do it for me. May Allah protect us.
Ameen. Ameen.
May Allah protect us. So this ayah is a wake-up call. And I think we should go for a break and catch our breaths after eating this. Allahu musta'an. May Allah forgive us.
Ameen, ameen. And may Allah protect us and keep us away from this fitan, inshallah ta'ala. We would like to see all of you at home, inshallah, with us after the break, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected guests, I hope you are still with us after the break, inshallah. And we would like to carry on with the topic with Sheikh Sajid Omar, inshallah ta'ala. So we left off, Sheikh, on ayah number 105, which talks about those who commit their, you know, deeds thinking that they are righteous and being accepted, but indeed they are nullified.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
May Allah protect us. Ameen. Allah protect us.
Ameen. Inshallah.
What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say next?
In ayah number 106, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, thus it is that their recompense is hell, because they disbelieve and held my communications and my apostles in mockery.
Allahul Musta'an. Yes, this is when you reject the messenger and you reject the message and you make fun of the messenger, you make fun of the message, then this can only be the recompense.
Mm.
And Allah is discussing these punishments in light of what Allah told us at the beginning, that the messenger has come to give glad tidings for those who believe and a severe warning, right? Mm. So the warning is the alpha. Now this is an expansion on that warning. This is the connection between the first 10 and the last 10. Please go ahead.
Surely, as for those who believe and do good deeds, their place of entertainment shall be the gardens of paradise. Abiding therein, they shall not desire removal from them.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us paradise.
Ameen.
Now, at the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says that the messenger comes to give you glad tidings of a great prize for those
who
believe. Mm. This is an explanation of that prize. There's a connection. Is right? So like the end of the surah is wrapping up what the surah started with. It's taking us to the beginning in a more explained way. Go ahead.
SubhanAllah. Say, if the sea were ink for the words of my Lord, the sea would surely be consumed before the words of my Lord and exhausted, though we were to bring the like of that sea to add.
Yes. Yes, so at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah is the one who revealed this book to his slave.
Hmm.
These are the words of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here how vast his words are. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if you take the seven oceans and you turn them into ink, you add another seven oceans ink to that, and then you take all the trees on the face of this earth
and you turn it into pence. And let's say you get all of mankind, all of jinnkind, all the angels, all of everything to take up these pens and start dipping it in this ink and writing the words of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the ink will get finished. The pens will get finished. Mankind will get finished. Jinnkind will get finished. The angels will get finished. Everything will get finished and the words of Allah will still remain. This is how vast His words are. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. And remember at the opening of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Right? This book is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the connection to the end of the surah? Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's read that ayah again. What does Allah say there?
Say, if the sea were ink for the words of my Lord, the sea would surely be consumed before the words of my Lord are exhausted, though we were to bring that like of that sea to add. So it's talking about having another sea added to that.
It's the same explanation. That's basically what it is. What I said. And then what does Allah say after that?
This is the final ayah. Say, I am only a mortal like you. It is revealed to me that your God is one, Allah. Therefore, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, he should do good deeds and not join anyone in the service of his Lord.
Yes. So this is the end of Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to the messenger to highlight to his people and highlight to the ummah that he is nothing but a
human.
He's a human being. He's not an angel. He's not an alien. He's a human being. But he's a human being that receives revelation. And if we go back to why Surah Kahf was revealed, about this Quraysh going to the Jewish settlers in the region and saying, give us some tips so we can derail his message and derail his prophecy, right? He's telling them, I'm from you, you know? The power has got into your head. The wealth has got into your head. It's blinding you from recognizing the truth. I am from you, right? And I only want your salvation. I only want your savior. And I am special in that God Almighty reveals to me. And the criterion is, read that again. For man kana, whoever, yarju, whoever desires.
It's real to me. Therefore, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, he should do good deeds.
He should do good deeds. Whoever hopes to meet his Lord, meaning whoever desires success in the hereafter, right? And meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the glad tidings that the messenger has brought. And not the warning. Then he should do good deeds. And here, there's an amazing connection to the beginning, because the beginning of the surah is speaking about iman, right? And at the end, we have a statement of iman. But here, there's an elaboration that it's about iman and doing good deeds. It's about doing good deeds. You can't just say, I have iman, I believe. Say, brother, where's your beard? Say, it's in my heart, brother. Say, it's here, brother. How did the guys talk, you know? They say, you don't judge me. You don't know what's in my heart. Say, well, we know what's on your face, right? But, I mean, that's what happens. You know, everything's is in everybody's heart. No, it's about acting, walking the walk, talking the talk. It's about doing good deeds, right? Because iman mandates doing good deeds. Belief mandates action. And when we go to another surah in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Asr, which the scholars say it's a surah of survival. It's not even a surah of success. They call it the surah of survival, right? You know, you got to think about it as a person who is in a strong current, and that current is taking him over the cliff. But as he's losing hope, he sees a twig. And he sees that as his hope of survival, not just success. But that to save myself. They say this is Surah Al-Asr. Because Allah says, Wal Asr. He takes up an oath by time, but not just time. By time that remains, by time which is running out. In the Arabic language, we say asir is juice, right? Why do we call it juice? Because it's what's left over after you squeeze the fruit, right? So, al-asr refers to the time that remains, whatever is left over. It's the remainder of something. Allah says, innal insana lafi khusr. That indeed all of mankind is drowning, is immersed in loss. Yes. Except those who believe. And do good deeds. And observe da'wah. They invite towards good. And they prevent evil. Right? And they observe patience. Now somebody might say, hold on a second. You know, why does Allah say observe patience? Because patience is a good deed. Why does Allah say do da'wah? Da'wah is a good deed. Why does Allah say do good deeds when good deeds is from iman? Iman mandates good deeds. Why doesn't Allah say accept those who believe? I'm tying it to the end here because Allah says, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Somebody might say, okay, Allah says, whoever wants to meet his Lord in a blessed state, let him do good deeds. Allah doesn't say we need to believe in Allah here.
Yeah.
They don't, no. The Quran explains the Quran. The beginning of the surah is attached to the end. The end explains the beginning. The beginning explains the end. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of the surah is highlighting not to follow the way of your forefathers, which is disbelief. Hmm. You have to believe. And that belief mandates good action. And just to come back to Surah Al-Asr, Allah is highlighting these four aspects. Why? Because without patience, you can't have da'wah. Inviting towards good and preventing evil needs patience. What does Khidr tell Musa alayhi salam? إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Patience, patience, patience. That if you want success, you got to be patient. So if you want to invite to Allah, you have to be patient. And if you invite to Allah, you'll have good deeds. And if you have good deeds, you'll have iman. So it's all connected. Without patience, there's no da'wah. Without da'wah, there's no good deeds. Without good deeds, there's no
iman.
SubhanAllah, right? So it's connected. Maybe in a future series, we can sit down and talk about Surah Al-Asr. It's absolutely amazing. It's mind-blowing. Allah and all the surahs of the Quran are. So this is the connection that Allah here is not mentioning iman because now it's established by default from the first word of the surah. Until now, this is an established fact. Right? So do what iman mandates, which is good deeds. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا Go ahead. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ And he should not
بِعِبَادَةِ
رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا Read for us the translation.
And not join anyone in the service of his Lord.
Yeah, so this is Tawheed.
No.
This is Tawheed.
Monotheism.
Believe in one Allah. Believe in the message of the messenger that tells you to believe in one Allah. Don't see Allah as children. Don't associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is a fundamental message at the beginning. And the beginning, along with its end, teaches us why the surah is the savior. The savior from the Dajjal. Because the surah is a surah of perspective. It's the weekly training. You read it once a week. It's the weekly training. It's the weekly audit. It's the weekly reading for revival and empowerment, right? And it is the perspective that will get you to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah whilst Allah is pleased with you, right? This is Allah is saying it at the end. It's the end of it. It's like it's a conclusion to the manual. That if you want to meet Allah properly, take heed of what we've said in the surah. The surah is a surah of perspective. It tells you how to be with power. It tells you how to be with wealth. It tells you how to be with knowledge. It tells you how to be with resources. Look after these things and use it in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed you to use it in. Meaning use these things correctly and you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and protect yourself from the warning and the punishment in the hereafter. So this is the four stories of Surah Al-Kahf and the reasons why it from its names is the savior.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, it's very important that you discussed all of the main benefits through the stories that we can derive and then link them all together, subhanAllah. It's amazing how the Qur'an allows those who ponder upon it and look into it to be able to extract certain benefits from it, subhanAllah. Sheikh, could you just go over the hadith that talks about the protection against the Dajjal when it comes to the first 10 or the last 10, is it, with the memorization, just to remind the viewers at home?
Yeah, we discussed this, I think, in the first episode, and just as a recap,
yes.
There's two narrations in Sahih Muslim, which are narrated to us by Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, to the best of my memory. In one, he says, whoever recites the first 10, of Surah Al-Kahf will be saved from the Dajjal. And another one, whoever memorizes the last 10 will be saved from the Dajjal. So is it a case of the first 10 or the last 10? Is it enough to read or do we have to memorize? And as we said, that it is about the first 10 and the last 10 to be safe. And obviously the whole surah to be safer. And it's not just about reading or memorizing as a symbol. It's about implementation. Islam is about knowledge plus action. If you read it but don't practice it, or memorize it but don't practice it, when the Dajjal appears, how will you be saved? You won't recognize this Dajjal as an enemy because you haven't understood anything you've read. The story is all about highlighting for us, as we said, perspective, teaching us our enemies in life. So when the Dajjal appears, you'll be saved from the Dajjal. How? That you won't fall into his trap because you'll see your enemy, because your whole life you've been learning about this enemy, about learning how to recognize this enemy. It's not just about how will he look, will the one eye, and how will the one eye be, and so on and so forth. You got to recognize traits, right? Mm-hmm. And this surah is all about keeping the world in your hands and not in your hearts, right? Yes. Because it's all about this life and how we should be in this world. If you have everything in your hand, it's disposable. But the moment you put it in your heart, it's going to change your values. It's going to change your attitudes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan, Shaykh. I've definitely benefited so much from this short time that we have every week to discuss the certain benefits that we can derive from Surah
Al-Kahf. I've benefited as well, wallahi, wa billahi wa tallahi, and perhaps more than you. And wallahi, nothing I've said is from me, maybe some reflections, but you know, what I share is what the giants before, our scholars, have contemplated and recorded in history for us to benefit from as well. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this show something that will remain, and people in the future will listen to and share pearls from what we've shared together, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you, Shaykh.
Ameen, and reward you as well, and our viewers and our brothers and sisters at Iman Channel. And I'm really honored for the opportunity, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all and bless us with further opportunities, inshallah.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah. And with that note, I'd like to send salam to those at home watching with us for this week and the previous weeks as well. Alhamdulillah. I hope that you benefited as much as we benefited from these previous weeks. You can always look back on these videos when they get uploaded, inshallah, and recap on things that you might have forgotten or not looked at in the previous weeks. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on this journey, and it saddens me to say that it has come to an end. I would like to thank all of you at home, and especially thank the Sheikh here with us, Sheikh Sajid Omar. Alhamdulillah. And I would like to send my salams to you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair.